Welcome back to Hero Talk with Talix and Trev.
I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev. And today we are going to be doing Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Alright, let's get it.
Now it's time for some jokes.
Alright, what you got?
Ron and Hermione or Ron and Lavender? That does not smell right.
Okay. I see where you went with that one. Okay, I got one. What do you call a wizard that can't hold on to a football?
I don't know.
Fumbledore. All right, it's time for our MVP. So, who is your MVP?
My MVP is Snape.
And why is Snape your MVP?
Because Harry wanted to get the liquid luck to make it feel like, to fake give it to Ron to make him do good in his tryouts. Mm-hmm. And then, but then he was sort of being a secret teacher. So secret that Harry didn't even know that he was a teacher.
And how's that?
How's that? Because since he was a half-blood prince and the book that Harry used was owned to him, if he didn't know to squish it down or any of the other stuff, how would he do it? He wrote it all in the book just for someone. And that was smart because he knew someone like Harry would show up. And then, boom, him and Ron are going to have a connection. And then they're going to race to try to get the better thing. And he just knows Harry like that. He's not going to get the good part of it. I think that's why he made the book, just so he can help out Harry. Now, that's nice. That's nice.
Interesting theory, but I don't think he meant to give Harry the book.
No,
I think
He's nice. Being the half-blood prince, he could have killed Harry with any of his spells. He didn't even try to do anything.
Yeah, but I think that was more so because Voldemort didn't want him to kill nobody.
He would be nice. He would do it regardless.
Okay. Anywho, my MVP, Dumbledore.
Did all this magic and when they were in the magical cave,
when they was in the cave to try to get the Horcrux out of there.
He tried to cut his own hand.
Yeah, he had to cut his own hand because it's dark magic to be able to light, get his way in there. And then he had to do all this stuff. And then at the very end, did you see the huge, it was a fire wave that he was constructing. He was controlling and saved Harry because that would have killed anybody else. Anybody else going into that chamber would have died had it not been Dumbledore. And Dumbledore had the strength and wherewithal to take the liquid that made him forget why he was there, was painful to him, and made him not want to be there and understand, okay, this is what's going on. Let me turn around and let me save Harry.
Okay, let me tell you. He didn't want Malfoy to end up doing it. That's why he told Snape to do it.
Do what?
Kill him.
How do you know he told Snape to do it?
I just got a feeling.
Okay, so you say he told Snape to kill him.
Yeah. So he did all that stuff, and he knew at the top of his finger that it wouldn't do much. It would do a whole lot, but he knew that it wasn't going to be too dangerous. That's why Harry was going to die.
It was all dangerous. The whole thing.
Because Harry's not Dumbledore. That's what I'm trying to say. But still. Okay.
All right. Let's move on to our most valuable loser. Now it's time for the MVL. Who's your most valuable loser?
My most valuable loser I'd say, mine. I need help.
You need help. So, who do you think is the most valuable loser? Who do you think that did not do much of anything helpful? To me, I say even though he played an important part, I think that the most valuable loser in my case is Draco Malfoy. Because, true enough, he was supposed to be the one to come in there and try to kill Dumbledore. And true enough, he had been going through a lot of stuff. He was threatened by Voldemort, basically, that his family was going to get hurt if he didn't do it. But the messed up thing about it is, had he not been so rude and tried to be so uppity to Harry throughout the series, they could have worked together to try to come overcome this. But he didn't have any friends because he drove everybody away.
Okay, that makes sense. A lot of sense. I think it was Hagrid.
What did Hagrid do?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Except for like celebrate not so celebrate the funeral for Aragog.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I mean, those were the two most valuable losers. I mean, they haven't really done anything. Aragog, he just showed up and was dead.
Okay.
And then Hagrid, the first time we actually seen him was when he was at the funeral. So they didn't really have enough action, and then Hagrid was knocked out.
All right.
So,
Let's move on to the settings. All right, it's time to do our favorite setting. So, what's your favorite setting in this movie?
my favorite setting was when Hagrid's hut was burning and stuff, and it was just nighttime and all the stars, and the grass looked like it lit up, and Harry was dueling with Snape.
Okay, so that's your favorite setting?
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite setting was the Dumbledore's office. And I say this because Dumbledore's office in general usually is like a place that has a whole bunch of light, and it's like a place that you have a lot of hope for and you enjoy, and there's like just somewhere that you think that it's good stuff there, right? And so in this time, when they came back from, the island, it was just bleak, and it was dark, and it was shadows everywhere, and it just seemed like it was just the life had gone out of the place. And so I
Oh,
think that that's, to me, was my favorite
I
setting.
didn't think of that part whatsoever.
All right, so what is your favorite costume in this movie?
My favorite costume is Ron's costume. It's like not the original one. It's like the one where he's on his broom and trying out for Quidditch. That's my favorite one, I would say.
As always, I think I got kind of like a split because I kind of like the Quidditch uniforms in the movie because I think that they always look pretty good, like the Quidditch sweaters and everything. But my favorite outfit or costume, so to say, I think is Draco's suit that he wears because it seems like he actually puts together like a nice suit. I mean, he's a jerk, but still, it was a nice suit. He was looking nice. I think they did a good job of his costume in the movie.
Wow, just wow.
All right, so what is your favorite scene in the movie?
My favorite scene was like the dueling part where Harry and Snape, which was, I know, very, very short, but the background and seeing the magic happen and reflecting his own spells and then releasing that he was actually the Half-Blood Prince, Snape was, that was actually a great part of the movie. In fact, one of the best.
I think it was pretty good too, because up until that time, I thought it was Voldemort that there was the Half-Blood Prince in this whole time and situation, and I never really guessed that it was Snape. And so when Snape revealed that, I think that that was pretty, like, a pretty cool thing. And I think it was interesting too, because Harry had used this spell in which he thought that he was going to win with, the Septum Sempra, and he didn't realize the snake invented the move, and so he was able to defend against it as well.
And I can see why you think that Voldemort was the Half-Blood Prince. I mean, he has his own blood, which I was surprised to know that he has, and unicorn blood, if he still does that.
Yeah. Okay, and also, my favorite scene was the scene when they go into the cave, and, you know, Harry finally gets Dumbledore to drink all the liquid and everything like that, and they finally get the Horcrux, and it's Harry goes to dip the water, and then the light goes into the water. Like, that was a smooth transition as the light just kind of like the sun went down into, or the moon rather in this case, went down into the water. And then the basically zombies started to come out and try to pull Harry under the water.
Nerf zombies, water so version.
He was able to get a couple of them off of him, but he couldn't do nothing else more than that. And so when he couldn't get anybody else off of him, and then, you know, Dumbledore comes out with the wind, with the huge flaming firewall in the roof of the cave, man, that was so awesome and epic just to see him wielding the flames like that. I think that was an excellent scene, and I thought that was really showed how powerful Dumbledore actually is.
Now it is time for some debate. This, my favorite part. Now we are going to be debating who is braver, Harry Potter or Albus Dumbledore. Now I think it's Harry Potter.
Why?
Because I think it's Harry Potter. And because of this, I mean, he jumped in. And he wasn't afraid to say yes to all that stuff that Dumbledore said. Even though he was like, I'm not so sure about none of this. So I think that's brave. And he encountered Voldemort just so many times. And Dumbledore just barely does any spell. He fought the Mentors. Or some people call them the Mantors. But still.
So is that bravery or stupidity that you just keep going into the dangerous situations without anything? I think that it sounded more so like stupidity than bravery. If we want to be brave, you got to be Albus Dumbledore.
That's why he's...
You had to go into the situation. Like, look at it. They went into the cloud. They went into the cave. And Dumbledore basically told him, he was like, hey, man, I need you to feed this to me even when I don't want to drink this no more. I need you to make me finish drinking this completely. And he made Harry do that for him. And he knew that it was going to be a terrible and painful experience. And he completely finished through the whole situation all the same. And that is something that a brave person does.
Hold up. Why? Why was he given the Sword of Gryffindor? Why? Why? And then why is he in Gryffindor?
Well, first off, he's in Gryffindor because he wanted to be in Gryffindor. He could have easily been slaughtered in the Slytherin, number one. Number two, where did he first see the Sword of Gryffindor? In Dumbledore's office. So, check and mate.
He didn't first see it there. It was actually in the Sorting Hat. So I'm pretty sure.
No, he saw it in Dumbledore's office, and then Dumbledore said that help will be always for somebody who wants it at Hogwarts. And then he pulled it out of the Sorting Hat when he was in the Chamber of Secrets. No, not Chamber of Secrets, but when he was down there fighting the Basilisk.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah. But Dumbledore, he just do a spell instead of going out of his way and just sticking the sword up his head and still not be afraid of dying with the tooth of a basilisk in his arm.
That's,
and then face Tom Riddle himself.
Stupid. Aye, if we go be talking about being brave from other movies, talking about just Dumbledore's fight with Voldemort, where he was mopping the floor. He was mopping the floor with Voldemort. He was mopping the floor with Voldemort. There was nothing Voldemort could do to even slow him down. He tried all his best moves. He tried the snake move. He tried the glass move. He tried all that stuff. And Dumbledore was just like, whatever, dude. This is not going to work on me.
Yeah. But who said he was full power? Who said Voldemort went full power? And then, once again, so many encounters with Voldemort. I mean, there's not one movie that I know of where he didn't come across Voldemort and fight him, except for Prisoner of Azkaban.
It doesn't even matter. At the end
and
of the day.
And he won every single one.
He won because of technicality. Anyway, Dumbledore's braver. Let's move on. So, was there anything that you felt that could have been upgraded in this movie, that could have been done to make it a little bit better?
Of course I did.
Which is what?
Like, when I read the books, Bellatrix, I thought her hair would be like super poofy.
Mm-hmm.
I like poodles. Just poof, poof.
Oh, you think it's like a poofy poof. And I kind of agree with that, like along the same lines. I think that Daniel Radcliffe did a good job of playing Harry Potter, but at the same time, I feel that him losing his curly, big, puffy hair was kind of just like a weird look for him. And the same thing with. Because in the books, he has like big, curly, puffy hair. It's like all over the place, but it's like really neat in the movies, which I mean, I understand that's the actor. His hair isn't like that. But at the very same time, I feel that that would have been a better aesthetic to make it look better.
Yes. Now it's time for us to rate it or hate it.
Okay, so out of 0 to 5, how many good luck potions do you think this movie deserves?
3. 3?
3 out of 5?
I was going to say 2, but I think 3.
I think 3 too. I think it was a good movie, but I think that overall it kind of like the darkness of it kind of took away some of the fun of the movies, and it also kind of like it didn't have any as many scenes stand out. To me, it seemed like everybody was kind of like bystanders in the movie as opposed to kind of like doing stuff in the movie.
Yeah, there was like only 3 good scenes.
Okay, so we gave it a 3 out of 5. That's all right. So let's move on to our fun facts. All right, time for some fun facts. Do you got a fun fact for us?
I do.
What is it?
Well, it is that Voldemort was born on New Year's Eve, 1926.
That's interesting, because I did not know what day he was born on.
Yeah. Now it is time to share some news. We have shirts in the description below. And Wreck-It Ralph will not be released, but it will be done. We're going to do it, but not release.
We're going to release it. It's just not immediate yet. Release. You're going to get it in a couple of days, but we're going to pretty much after this episode, we're going to go straight into Wreck-It Ralph, and then you're going to get that in a couple of days. So be on the lookout for that Wreck-It Ralph episode.
And yeah.
All right. Time to get on platform 9 3/4 and get on up out of here, man. This has been Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
Because when there's a hero,
we talk.
And we're out.